Welcome to the Financial Modeling Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends in financial modeling, from AI and machine learning to automation and model auditing. This is your number one source for financial modeling news, tips, and tricks with your host, Matthew Bernath.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the next edition of the Financial Modeling Podcast. With me today, I've got Tim Vipont. Tim is the CEO of Corporate Finance Institute. Corporate Finance Institute is an online training company, and they've got some really fantastic training courses running from accounting and valuations right through to financial modeling. I'm sure Tim will give us more background about that. So hi, Tim. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Hey, Matthew. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here chatting with you about financial modeling.
I always certainly find it a pleasure. I absolutely love financial modeling. So it's great to always connect with people around the globe that are also interested in financial modeling.
Glad I'm not the only one.
Absolutely. You started the Corporate Finance Institute, and you have, I know, well over 15 years of corporate finance experience. Can you maybe give us a bit of a background of your experience and where you came up with the idea for the Corporate Finance Institute?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to do that. So I started my career in investment banking about 13 years ago in Vancouver, Canada, and had a great experience, but also a very challenging time working in what's a very demanding industry. But I loved the modeling. I loved the valuation work and the analysis, but I didn't really love the lifestyle so much. So I moved on, went back to school to do my MBA, and ended up working in corporate development, which is sort of the other side of investment banking, working with those bankers on mergers and acquisitions from the corporate side of things, which I loved, which combined that financial modeling work with a more interesting experience, in my view, working on the corporate side. So was doing that for many years until I was approached by MDA Training, which is a London-based firm that does classroom training at all the world's largest banks. Well, not all of them, but most of the world's largest banks, like Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, JP Morgan, etc. And they approached me to do some training for them in person, which I did at some of these banks. And then ultimately, we decided that we should bring these bank training programs online, and we could offer a full suite of financial analyst training with the curriculums that had been developed under MDA. And that's really what launched CFI in 2016. So that's really how everything got started.
Sure. So CFI has been around for, I guess, then close to 3 years. I mean, what does CFI do? What sort of training courses do you offer?
We offer a complete suite of financial analyst training from introductory accounting all the way through to advanced financial modeling techniques. And it's 25 courses that, whether you're a beginner or an intermediate or advanced professional in finance, you can find the right spot for you to start and hopefully move from being a great financial analyst to an absolutely world-class financial analyst.
Tim, you're obviously based in Canada. Do you have users across the globe, or are most of your users based in North America?
Yeah, we do have a very global user base, and it's quite exciting actually to see some of the engagement that we're getting around the world. And really, it almost follows like population and economic activity. When we look at the traffic on the website and the users that are purchasing our programs, it's very, very diverse, and we're seeing a lot of exciting activity in developing countries.
You just hit on a point that's of interest to me. Do you think there's a high correlation between economic activity and training? And which one do you think comes first?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually, and something that I've wondered about myself. So we definitely see a very high correlation between the GDP of the countries that we sell into and the amount of revenue that we get from those countries. And so obviously countries with higher GDP are spending more money on training and education. I don't really know which leads which, though. And I think intuitively, most people think that education comes first and education drives economic activity. But I was reading Nissim Taleb's book called Anti-Fragile, and in that, he actually thinks it's the opposite. He thinks that economic activity comes first, and then once people have money, they spend it on education, which he thinks is a luxury good. I'm not saying for sure one way or the other, but it's interesting to think about.
And it's quite interesting, and I guess unfortunate to some extent, that training is a luxury good, because, you know, training should be accessible. And I know that at Corporate Finance Institute, you do great things to make training accessible to people across the globe, especially making training online where people wouldn't necessarily be able to attend a classroom-based training event in London or New York. And they can, you know, do the online training from their home or office, wherever that might be. But I guess it is a luxury, and it's something that hopefully in the future, you know, we can change.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hope actually ours is not at that level of being a luxury good. We've tried to make it accessible to everyone, and we have a social mission as a company to do just that. And that's why we think our prices are extremely low, and we're focused on increasing quality and increasing the offering without increasing pricing. We'd rather reach more people at a very accessible price point and change more lives and help more people become better financial analysts, rather than what was the old model before, was like very elite, very expensive in-person classroom training that only affected a few people.
And I think that's a really great initiative. And hopefully, you know, we can get training to the whole of Africa. Obviously, where I'm based in South Africa, so Africa is of interest to me. What activity have you seen in Africa? Which are your biggest countries in Africa as target markets?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. So within Africa, we do see a lot of activity, and South Africa is the number one country, followed by Nigeria and then Kenya, as well as Egypt. So we do see, and those, by the way, we should point out, are the bigger GDP countries in Africa. So again, no surprise, we're seeing that connection between GDP and users that are purchasing our courses.
And yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a correlation between GDP and the courses. And I think those are also the countries where you see economic activity, you know, really across the spectrum, from corporate finance to renewable energy projects being done. And the great thing about financial modeling is it is a global standard. So financial modeling in the US is the same as financial modeling in South Africa, is the same as financial modeling in Australia. So it really is a global skill.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, a lot of times new students will ask us, does your financial modeling teach US GAAP or IFRS standards, or what type of accounting? And we actually explain to them that it doesn't really matter what type of accounting you use. The financial modeling art is to actually undo most of the accounting and put things into an economic value perspective. So you're right, it's in a sense a global standard in that way.
Tim, you obviously have some banks and corporates as your clients as well. How easy has the shift been to go from classroom training, which is very prevalent at those large organizations, to online training, which is relatively new?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the banks are now doing what they call a blended learning approach or blended training, where they have classroom and they supplement it with e-learning. And so we don't do any classroom training. So sometimes we've been brought in as the supplemental e-learning piece, but we think this is most likely just a transition phase, that perhaps in 5 or 10 years will be exclusively online. And we have seen banks putting together their own learning management platforms and then reaching out to content providers like us and actually purchasing our content to put it on their own internal learning management system. So I think there'll be a variety of different approaches to integrate e-learning, but it's certainly in the works, and there's just going to be more of it in the coming years.
Wow. So do you think within the next 5 to 10 years, we could actually see the end of classroom-based training?
Good question. I don't think it will completely end, no. I think it will just reduce to a base level that will always exist, I presume, because I think people do like, in certain situations, having some personal interaction with a teacher. Back to the point about a luxury good, I think it will be just that. It will be for perhaps more senior people in an organization where there's a budget and where they need some real hands-on, back and forth, person-to-person training. I think that will continue.
Tim, you mentioned that you've got about 25 courses available online. What do you have in store for 2019? What new courses are you busy working on?
Well, there's a few exciting things. In terms of courses, we're finishing a course right now on Amazon, and it's a case study where you can download all of Amazon's annual reports, equity research reports, and then build a model to come up with a valuation for Amazon. So it's actually quite a complex and detailed model because Amazon has some interesting accounting that has to be dealt with, such as stock-based compensation, capital leases, and things like that. So that is a course we're very excited about. Not to mention it's a $1 trillion company by market cap, you know, depending on the day. But when you're valuing a company that large, it's quite fun to actually build the model and spit out this enormous number at the end. So that's one thing. And then another thing we're very excited about is an integration and partnership with PitchBook Data. And for those that haven't used PitchBook Data before, it's much like Capital IQ or Bloomberg, but it focuses mostly on private companies and VC and PE deals. But what we've been able to agree with them on is that we're going to be able to provide PitchBook user accounts for anyone who's enrolled in our full immersion bundle. And with those user accounts, you can get free access to PitchBook Data. And so in our courses, you can now sort of take your learning to the next level because you can go into PitchBook, log in, you can look for deals, you can look for companies, you can download financial data and then incorporate that into your modeling.
Sure, that sounds amazing. And certainly also touching on another topic that's very close to my heart, the whole data aspect. Data is becoming increasingly important when it comes to financial models, making sure that you have data that's relevant, that's clean, that's accurate. And that sort of data can only increase the accuracy of your financial models.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you can download financial data as opposed to manually entering it in, I mean, it's going to save you a lot of time. It's going to reduce the chance of any keystroke errors or things like that. So we highly recommend, wherever possible, integrating with data systems, although not everyone has that luxury. But if you do, it's certainly a great enhancer to your modeling.
Tim, for people that might be listening to the podcast and that are interested in taking one of your courses, what's a typical format? Is it videos, is it online slides, are there examples, or is there a test? How does it work?
Mm-hmm. So all of the courses have a variety of modalities, as we call them. So those include videos, interactive exercises, quizzes, and examples, and then a final test at the end. So most of it will be video, and those videos will be both covering theoretical concepts and giving practical examples. And then students download Excel files and work along to build their own model, or they download a PowerPoint presentation and make their own presentation and take a test at the end.
And then how does that test work? Do delegates or students have to then achieve a certain rate in order to pass the training?
Yeah, that's right. So they have to take a multiple choice test that when they pass with 80% or higher score, then they've completed the course. But we've designed it so that, you know, the tests are challenging enough that you really have to understand the material, and you actually have to use a model that you've created to answer some of the questions. So even though it's a multiple choice test, it's actually quite interactive and quite engaging.
Okay, certainly it doesn't sound like it's that easy, but I guess as training and testing, it shouldn't be the easiest thing to do. It should be a learning experience. And then what happens after that, Tim? Does somebody get a certificate that they can then display online or on their LinkedIn profile?
Yes, so each course has an individual certificate of completion, but for those that want to work towards our designation, which is the Financial Modeling Evaluation Analyst, once you complete all of the course requirements, then you will be issued that designation. You can put that on LinkedIn, on your resume, wherever you'd like to display it, and you will get an official certificate for that.
Okay, great. Tim, that sounds really interesting. And I think it's a good time to mention that the Financial Modeling Podcast has partnered with the Corporate Finance Institute to offer our listeners a discounted price in order to access some of this very valuable training material. So if you go to the Corporate Finance Institute website and you put in the code FMP10OFF, you will get 10% discount on the training material. And I think that's a great initiative, Tim, in order to, as you say, make this training accessible.
Yeah, thanks. We're super excited to be partnering with you. We think what you're doing is very cool, and you've got a great listener base that are very engaged, that are excited about financial modeling and being better financial analysts. And those are exactly the kind of people that we want to be helping. So we're very thrilled to be partnering up with you on that.
Great, Tim. Thank you so much. Well, it's been great chatting to you, and I'm sure we're going to have you back on the show again sometime next year to discuss some more developments and see how things are going. And hopefully you come out to South Africa soon.
Yes, please. I'd love to be on the podcast again. And I'd especially love to come to South Africa someday. So I'll keep you posted on that one.
Great. Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Matthew.
That was Tim Vipond from the Corporate Finance Institute joining us on the podcast. As I mentioned in the podcast, if you would like to get 10% off any of the courses available on the Corporate Finance Institute's website, head over to the website, select the course that you'd like to do, and enter the discount code FMP10OFF10OFF. Please let us know if you have any questions for myself or for Tim, and we're looking forward to seeing you again on the next podcast.